there is written from witness accounts, from the things that he's seen, the things that he's heard about that day when Jesus resurrected from the dead, that he was in the tomb, and women came to bring spices on that tomb. And there were soldiers who were guarding the tomb to make sure that no one would mess with it. And this is the account that they have. I want us to read together, if you could join me. Slide, please. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a deep faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And just as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." There's two groups of people in this passage: the Roman guards who were guarding the tomb, and the women who came to meet and to put spices on the dead body of Jesus. But when they saw the angel, they were both in great fear. The passage tells us that the guards who were there shook so much in fear, they fell down in a dead faint. It's almost as if they were scared stiff. If you've ever been that way, you've been so scared you couldn't move. You were so frightened. It tells us that the women ran to the other disciples. And the angel tells them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Matthew tells us that they were very afraid, but they were also filled with great joy. And there's a sense in which you can be so afraid, but it's an excitement that there's something incredible that's going to happen. And they were filled with joy. And Jesus meets them and says, "Don't be afraid." And this is what we celebrate. This is how we celebrate this morning. With the sense of anticipation, with the sense of the unknown, with the sense of the unexpected, yet Jesus is risen, and we can have great joy in that. So that's how I would like for us to celebrate this morning, to know that Jesus is risen and that we have great joy in that. I'd like for you to stand. We're going to do something that's been a tradition in the church of old for decades. Please stand. We're going to responsively speak to each other. I'm going to say, "Christ is risen," and your response back to me is, "Christ is risen indeed." Okay, here we go. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Jesus Christ, my living hope.
I didn't hear anybody singing, so I know you're all staring at me setting this up. So, sorry for that distraction. You know, we talk about celebrating Easter and being a happy day. Some of you don't realize this, but, you know, like the two biggest events in church are Christmas and Easter. The birth of Jesus and the Easter weekend that we celebrate, the torture and the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus coming back to life again, those are the two biggest events. But this may come as a surprise to some of you. Easter is more important than Christmas. Although Christmas has all this celebration of Christmas tree and lights and Christmas presents, that is not as important as Easter Sunday. And so when we celebrate Easter Sunday, that's a day that changes everything. That changed history. That changes the way we look at life, the way we understand God, the way we interact with God, the way we live out our lives. It's unlike any other day in history, and we want to celebrate that day. So, the question is, how did we get to Easter? Like, why are we even celebrating Easter? I mean... Christmas is great, right? Why can't we just have Christmas all the time, 52 weeks out of the year? Well, one, that would be a lot of celebrating. And two, your parents would be broke because they can't be buying you presents every week. So we celebrate this thing we call Easter Sunday. How do we get to Easter Sunday? Easter Sunday comes because we have to start at the beginning. We have to understand what happened at the very beginning to see how the world was. So if you look at the screen, that's how the world was, just black. Nothing was there. Nothing existed except God. And nothing existed before God because God just existed all the time. And so what happened was God said, you know, I want to create this world and it's going to look something like this. And so out of nothing, God creates the heavens and the earth. And so it sort of looks like this. I don't know. I wasn't there at the time, but I can sort of imagine it looks like this, that everything was just beautiful. Remember, God just created it. He snapped his fingers. Boom, it was there. The space, the earth, the rivers, the sky, everything. God keeps going on. He does this. He creates animals. All sorts of animals, flying animals, big animals, small animals, animals that swim in the water, crawl along the ground, all sorts of animals. They're beautiful. And the cool thing about all these animals is that they just hang out together. They don't eat each other. They don't attack each other. They're not territorial. They like each other. Whew. Unlike today, right? And so God says to himself, this is great. I created the world. I created animals. I created animals that like each other. I'm going to create something that's really, really magnificent, something that's unheard of before. And so he creates a man and a woman. We know them as Adam and Eve. Now, God didn't create Adam and Eve because he was lonely. God's not lonely. He likes himself. Okay? He likes hanging out with himself. He doesn't need anybody else to be with. But you think about this, God, the Bible tells us that human beings are his highest creation, his best creation. Think of God as not only the creator, but an artist, right? An artist makes an incredible painting, for example. And everyone looks at the painting and says, what a great painting, that's magnificent. And the painter is praised because of the painting. And that's the way God wants us to think about us as human beings. We are his greatest creation. And when we look at each other, we say, oh, you're a good person, but the person who created you is even greater, and that's God. Okay? Now, God let everyone, let Adam and Eve do whatever they wanted to do in what we call the Garden of Eden. We sort of use the phrase free will. And we know that they had free will because God said, you know, you can name the animals, whatever you want to name them. You can eat from any tree in the garden except one tree and just have a great life. Free will. Do whatever you want. But they said to themselves, yeah, you know, God said we can eat from any tree in the garden except for one, but I want to eat from this one tree. God says, don't eat from that one tree because that would be a bad thing to do. And so they do. And so, you know, the Bible tells us Eve ate first and gave it to Adam. Adam was standing around, you know, duh, okay, I'll eat that apple too, right? And so the serpent there represents the devil tempting both Adam and Eve. And all sorts of bad stuff happened in the world. Right? This is not the world. It changes the world forever. It doesn't remain this nice, idyllic, nice, peaceful. Animals are hanging out together. It's not that world anymore. It's sort of like this. It's this crazy world. You know, I mean, it goes nuts. Right? It's dark. It's scary. People are on the internet or on their phones all the time. Right? They're drinking Coke and ruining their bodies, right? Animals are going crazy. That's a drawing that somebody made, right? It is sort of like the real world, though, because the real world is like this, where we have children who are starving because they can't get enough food. And so these children are eating out of a trash dump, right? That's what happened when Adam and Eve ate the apple. It brought chaos into the world. And then this sort of world where there's violence, people want your stuff. When, you know, you own your own stuff, people want your stuff, and people hurt each other. We have things like this, bullying. You know, people gang up on one person at school. I don't know if you've ever been bullied. I'm bullied all the time at my house. You know, my wife. Yeah, I cry a lot at home. And so, you know, that's not a good thing either. Bullying's not a good thing. And, you know, that's crazy weather, right? What's it called? Climate change, global warming. Like, why? You know, San Francisco's complaining all the time. Why is there a drought? We don't have any rain. And when it rains, why is it raining all the time? You know? And, yeah, okay. And so, you know, if you look at the weather across the Midwest and South, it's crazy right now. Global warming, if you believe in that kind of stuff. Throughout all this, though, throughout God creating everything as the way it should be, creating a man and woman who disobeyed what he wanted them to do, through a crazy, chaotic world, this one truth still stands, and that's this, that God loves you. God's love for you has never changed. Right? He created every one of you. He knows you by name, and he loves you with an infinite love. It's never changed, no matter how bad the world gets. There's a problem, though. What is the problem? There's a problem. So God, when he looks at the world, and he looks at us, the problem is caused by this. Remember this? That Adam and Eve sinned and brought this evil into the world. And so there's this thing called sin that causes people to do bad things. Sin can be described as things that people do that displease God. Sin can be described as things that you do to hurt other people. Anything that goes against God's ways and God's heart is considered sin. It's a bad thing. So God is perfect. There's nothing wrong with God or in God or about God at all. And so the sin that's in the world and in us, God cannot come close to. He doesn't want to come close to it. We use words like God's a holy God, he's a righteous God. Those are words that we find in the Bible. So we have sort of this picture, okay, that God is perfect, and that there's sin that separates us from God. There's sin in the world that says God can't reach us, can't get to us because there's sin. Now, I want you to understand this picture is not quite right, okay? Because in reality, it's more like this, that the sin is in us, that I'm a sinner, that you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. We're all sinners because sin is in each of us. This is what Adam and Eve did in their hearts. So when they sinned, when they disobeyed God, we all became sinners also. Sin is nothing you can wash away. You can't scrub it off of yourself. It's sort of like the blood that courses through your veins. You can't change it. So what's God to do? I mean, is he just going to say, oh, you are a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, so I can't come close to you, and you can't come close to me? Is that the way God wanted it? God has given us the Bible for us to understand a lot of things. Understand things about God, understand about creation, understand about ourselves, understand how to live in this life, even though this world is evil and chaotic and we are sinners. But he also gives us a solution to the problem, right? Let me try to draw it this way. I'm a very visual type person. I hope you are too. Well, let's just say, we are over here, okay? Okay, I'll draw a girl too. Girls always wear dresses, right? Sorry. I don't know, maybe they have a dog, I don't know. Okay. I was an engineer, not an artist, okay? And so so we're over here. Let's say God is over here. Nobody knows what God looks like. The Bible talks about God's hands, his feet, his eyes, his heart. Helps us understand God. Just let me draw God like this. He probably has a robe. Because he's God. What kind of hair does God have? He has good hair, okay? He's in heaven, so there's clouds, right? Heaven is his home. And there's gates, right? Right? That's God. So that's sort of like God created everything, created human beings, created animals, okay? Now, we live our merry lives. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And deep down inside of us, deep down inside each of us, we know that there's a God, we know there's a creator, and we want to have a relationship with that God. There's a problem, though, and the problem is this. Imagine that the world is like this. And this is a cliff on one side, a cliff on the other side. And there's a big, big space in the middle. And it's pretty wide, okay? You can't really jump across. So think of it as like jumping from the stage to the back of the room. That's pretty far. You couldn't do it. But it's even further than that. It'd be like jumping from this building to the building across the street. But it's even further than that. It's like jumping from San Francisco to New York. It's even further than that, right? It's like jumping from the Earth to the moon, okay? It's even further than that. That's how big this gap is. Oh, but we're really smart people, right? We try to do different things, and we're thinking to ourselves, I want to hang out with God. I want to have a relationship with God. So what can I do to be in a relationship with God? Well, let's try to, you know, I want to be a good person, right? I want to be a good person. So that, in our mind, we think, well, that will help me get to God, right? It's like, oh, sorry, I got to fix this. Sorry. Oh, that's better. Okay. So I want to be a good person. Does that get me to God? We try. Nope, we fall short. How about we go to church, right? I go to church. That's not a cross. I go to church every Sunday. I try. I fall. Never make it across. How about I make a lot of money and give it to the church? And I go to church every Sunday, and I'm a good person. Try. No, you fall short. Nothing that you can do will help you get all the way across from over here to over there. Right? Because this is not the problem. The problem is the sin that's inside of you. Right? And God's saying, nope. Bible helps us to understand this a little bit, and so gives us a verse in the Bible. Bible's very good, very helpful. You should read your Bible, right? One of those verses is from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. And so the Bible is broken into different books, and those books are broken up into different chapters, and those chapters are broken up into different what we call verses. And one of those verses is Romans 6. 23. And so this verse helps us to understand everything about Christianity and how God wants to bring us into a relationship with Him. So let me break down this verse, and it goes something like this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Let me write that over here. What are wages? If you have a job and you do your work, you get paid. Those are wages, right? That's what wages are. Sin, we talked about sin earlier. I said sin are things that you do that displease God, that God's not happy with, that you hurt other people, right? You don't get along with other people. Sin is all those sorts of things. And there's death. Now, when Adam and Eve, before they ate the forbidden fruit, the apple, they would have lived forever. But because they ate, then death came into the world. But this is a different kind of death. This is not just physical death, but it's an eternal death. You keep dying every single day. So, the wages of sin are death. The things you work for because of sin, what you are due is death. That's what the verse is saying. The wages of sin is death. Now, what else does this verse tell us? There's a but. Let me just write that down here. All right. And then the person who writes this says, but the free gift of God is eternal life. I mean, let me break it down again. A gift. What's a gift? Right? If you discover that I like Kentucky Fried Chicken, original recipe, extra crispy, please, and you bring me a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and say, "Pastor Jack, I have this gift for you." It's like, really? And so it's nice of you. And I know it costs $22.95, you know, at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I pull out my wallet and I say, here's some money. Let me pay you back for the gift you've given to me. Is that still a gift? No. That's a business transaction, right? And so the verse says, actually, it's a free gift. And this gift is from God. We talked about who God was, right? He's creator of everything. He loves us infinitely. And then he says the gift of God is life. Not just any life, but eternal life. Okay? That means every single day after you physically die, you live and you live and you live. So if we look at the picture, wages versus a gift, sin versus God, death versus life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Now remember, I wrote this but, right? This is a big but. And that but is there because the rest of the verse says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, what did Jesus do for us? He died upon the cross, right? And so it's only because of Jesus do we have the ability to have a relationship with God the Father. And it says through Jesus, right? And we do that through faith and trust and some other things, but it's simply a belief that Jesus did this for you and I. That Jesus, 3 days ago that we celebrated Good Friday, which is sort of a phrase for that day, Jesus was crucified upon the cross. But we do not celebrate any images of the cross where Jesus is hanging on the cross. We celebrate an empty cross because Jesus was resurrected that day. And it's through Jesus, and finally, you and I don't need to do all these things to get to God. You and I can cross over and have a relationship with God personally. That is the whole Christian ideal in a nutshell. That because what happened in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate the apple, it created this sort of world. That everything you do because of the sin that you do causes death eternally. But Jesus came because God loved you so much and loved himself so much that he created a free gift that comes from him that gives us eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. It's a very simple way to think about Christianity. It's a very simple way to think about how you should think about Jesus Christ. The verse ultimately says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Is that picture helpful to you? Do you understand that? Yeah, great. So I'm going to pray, and I just want you to think about this for a little bit. Maybe for you to think about who you are, right? And so what Jesus did when he died upon the cross, he took that stain of sin that was upon you and took it upon himself. If you have never heard this story before, or if you were unsure what it means to be a Christian, or if no one has ever presented the story of Jesus to you, I want you to talk to someone that you know is a Christian. You can come talk to me. If you're younger, you can talk to your teacher. If you're older, you can talk to one of your friends and say, can you just sit with me and talk to me about this story from Romans and help me understand it a little bit more, ask someone, okay? Because none of us live forever on earth, but we're going to live somewhere forever eventually, eternally. I want you to remember that. If you've been a Christian for a really long time, it's sort of like, let's just take this for granted. Yeah, Jesus died for me. He loved me, died upon the cross. He was resurrected again. Man, every single day, you ought to be celebrating this. Every single day. Celebrating what Jesus Christ did for you, the work upon the cross, his resurrection, that God loves you so much, he would send his son to die for you. Celebrate it. Embrace it. Run with it. Right? Because that's the Christian story. So for both groups, you have something to think about, something to ponder, something to wrestle with. Okay? So let me ask you, just close your eyes, reflect upon that for a minute. You and thank you that you're a God who created us. And even though we are stained with sin, you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son to give us eternal life. And for those of us who know Jesus, who love Jesus, who believe in what he did, I just give you praise for that. Because so many of us will be rejoicing in heaven with you. For those in this room who don't know Jesus, who maybe heard the story for the first time, who haven't really understood it, I simply pray that you would speak into their hearts. And if they're ready just to simply say, Jesus, I believe in you, let that be the first step. And God, I don't care how old they are, how young they are, but if they can say, Jesus, I believe in you, would you embrace them? Let them see that they come to you through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please stand.
Who breaks the power?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings
our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who wins the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Been great celebrating with you today. Hope you carry the celebration into tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. When we are done here, I would like for you to just, if you can, if you're able, to help put up the chairs. I'm going to ask some of the young people to help out quickly to put up all the chairs, right? And we're going to bring in tables for refreshments. So you please stay and have refreshments. We're going to close.